Yeah, Father Phil, actually, I will probably just quit talking about deliverance this Sunday, but maybe we'll pick it up some other time. We started talking about evil spirits and how evil spirits want to attack even Christians, but how Jesus has given us absolute, complete authority in His name to deal with evil spirits. We started talking about what might be entrance points for evil spirits, what might allow them to come into our lives last time. And by the way, sometimes we'll call them demons or unclean spirits or evil spirits. It's all the same thing. And we'll talk about folks who are being oppressed or influenced by demons, as maybe they're being demonized or it's a demon infestation, or there's just lots of different terms we use. Let's not get hung up on that. Let's get down to what does God want to do and how does He want to make us free, because that's really what this is all about. So when we were talking about entrance points, how sometimes evil spirits come into our lives, we talked about sometimes they come in through familiar spirits, either from familiar things we've been doing with them or just from our families. Sometimes they come in by our own invitation. Sometimes they come in through sin in our lives. Sin is a huge open door for demonic infestation. And we'll pick up this morning talking about wounds and traumatic events that bring negative, ungodly emotions or feelings. And when we suffer a trauma, when we suffer a hurt or a wound, we also usually experience some negative, destructive, ungodly emotions. Things like fear, anger, guilt, shame, grief. When I say grief, I don't mean that grief of in itself is ungodly, but when you suffer a great loss or a great grief, sometimes that can open the door then for feelings of perpetual grief and depression. Sometimes the negative or ungodly feelings might include confusion or pain, both physical and psychological pain, despair, depression, abandonment, loss, betrayal. You understand what I'm saying? It's those kinds of negative emotions that we experience, usually from trauma or something that's happened to us, that I believe demons actually feed on. Let me tell you a story about that. We went to Mexico to minister one time, and the missionary we went to visit had a compound, several buildings, and he had one building that they used for meals. It was both the kitchen and the eating hall. He said, you know, we're having lots of trouble with teams that come down, and they come down and they're so happy and they're doing so well until they come into this building and start eating together, and all of a sudden they start fighting and arguing with each other, and we don't know what's going on, and we just want you all to pray over us and this, and let's see what the Lord will do. So we started praying, and one of the team members that was with us, God gave them a vision of this place, and up in the rafters, the ceiling of this eating hall, were demons that were staying up there. And what happened was it started by a group of people that came in there to eat, and all they wanted to do was brag and talk about how spiritual they were, and because they were so spiritual, God had done great things, and how great they were. In other words, the spirit of pride, they had pride and arrogance, and these demons came in on that. And then as other people came into the eating hall, the demons then would tempt them to either act in pride or to fight with one another, get mad with each other, or have arguments, get hurt feelings, those kind of things. And when those people began to generate those negative emotions, the demons would begin to grow and swell. It was as if they were feeding on the negative emotions from those people. When we're overcome by these kinds of negative or destructive emotions, we're open to demonic infestation. Don't ask me why. I don't understand all the mechanics of it. But even when you cast demons out that have come in from trauma, they'll keep coming back until those emotions are healed. Now, once the emotions are healed and then the demons are expelled, they won't come back because there's not a place for them to come back to. You see what I'm saying? They're not welcome anymore because there's, I don't know, nothing for them to feed on or something. A wound or trauma doesn't have to be overwhelming in order to bring in a demonic influence. I'll tell you a story on me and Debbie. Not long after we had gotten married, we were still ministering to a bunch of our single friends. And we would have Bible studies and prayer meetings and things like that. And one night after one of these meetings, as folks were leaving, one of the single girls in this group, when she said goodbye to me, she reached over and kissed me on the cheek. And then she left. And Debbie saw that. And because of some trauma and wounds in her life earlier, a spirit of jealousy was able to come in. It entered at a weak point in her life, and it hung around for almost a year. here I was wondering what in the world is going on, because every time I get around some other woman or some woman gets around me, all of a sudden my wife gets like trying to put a cat in a bucket of water. I mean, she's just on edge and mad at me, and I don't know what's going on. And well, finally, Debbie realized, she said, you know, these feelings of jealousy, they're being exacerbated and amplified by an evil spirit. She realized that she had been believing a lie about me and my feelings toward her and those kind of things, and that this spirit was feeding that lie. And so she allowed the Lord to speak truth to her heart, to heal those feelings of abandonment that she had. And then she was able to drive off that demon of jealousy, which, by the way, never came back. Understand what I'm saying? Negative emotions, negative feelings, how they can draw these things in, even when we're serving the Lord, okay? This is the key to deliverance from evil spirits that have come in from negative emotions. You have to allow the Lord to heal those negative emotions. Remember, there's five kinds of healing, and one of the five kinds of healing is healings of emotions. And once the emotions are healed, then deliverance is easy. Or once deliverance has taken place, if the emotions are healed, the deliverance will be permanent. Now, sometimes negative and ungodly emotions, feelings, attitudes come from a sexual source. And especially now in our modern society, it's just such a sexually charged society we have around us. Unclean spirits that specialize in sexual perversion really are having a heyday, especially here in our nation. And they want to come and they want to oppress us, and they want to use something wrong sexually as an entrance into our lives. They may come in because you were molested as a child, or maybe you have deep-seated feelings of abandonment or rejection, especially if those feelings of rejection are associated with your sexuality and you've been made to feel like there's something wrong with your sexuality. It makes it easy then for demons to come in and take advantage of that. Or maybe you've gotten involved in pornography or some kind of sexual perversion. Maybe you did that before you knew the Lord. Maybe you did that after you knew the Lord, but that's still opens a door. There's all kinds of feelings and negative emotions associated with that that really open up doors for demonic infestation. Debbie and I recently prayed over the phone with a woman who lives in Germany. She was being oppressed by an incubus spirit. An incubus spirit is a spirit that attacks people, usually women, in a sexual way. Now, sometimes women who have felt abandoned, who felt lonely, actually invite the incubus spirit to come to them. And these spirits have the ability to provide physical sensation, okay? And what was happening with this lady was this evil spirit would come to her at night and was literally trying to rape her. She had all the sensations of being raped. And this was happening all night long, night after night. She got to where she was having to try to catch naps during the day because she was afraid to go to bed at night and afraid to go to sleep. Now listen, this is a spirit-filled Christian woman. She's single, but she's been attacked by a demon. And she didn't know what to do. She was frightened. She was tired, emotionally worn out. I mean, this was just, I don't know what you'd call it, just a very difficult situation for her. So Debbie and I started ministering to her long distance, literally. I mean, when we're in North Carolina and she's in Germany, that's kind of a long ways off, right? But we start praying with her over the phone. We start talking with her and spending some time with her. We began, among other things, to teach her about different kinds of demonic oppression and what was going on and how we all have great authority in the name of Jesus over evil spirits, and began to show that to her from the Word. We prayed a prayer of deliverance over her, but we also equipped her to run that demon off herself. It's not good enough sometimes just to pray a prayer of deliverance over somebody, especially somebody that's thousands of miles away. They got to know how to deal with this too if it comes back. And sure enough, that night, she had the first good night's sleep that she had in months. She was free. She stayed free for several days, and that evil spirit came back, was trying to get back in. And she called Debbie, and Debbie prayed with her, and the evil spirit left. She was able to go back to sleep, and Debbie told her, said, look, when that comes back, you need to drive that out in the name of Jesus. You need to tell him to leave you alone, don't come back. And she said, okay. Well, a little over a week later, tried to come back again. She ran it off in the name of Jesus. She's been free and staying free from this evil spirit. We have unlimited power in the name of Jesus. We just have to know it and exercise that. Sometimes we don't even know evil spirits have come along. You know, we don't even know that it's an evil spirit. Turn to Matthew 4, Let's talk about another way that demons come in, or an entrance point, and that is physical defects in our minds. You know, I said that our mind is the primary interface with the spirit world. What happens when something's not right up there, when the neurons aren't firing properly and things get confused? I think it can be easier for demons to attack under those circumstances. Remember, I said, not all mental illness is demonic, and not all demonic infestation is necessarily mental illness. We can't attack it. But sometimes, I think especially in this example, we see that epilepsy sometimes might be caused or exacerbated by demonic spirits, and they're able to get in because of a defect in the brain. Or it was talking about what Jesus was doing. The news about him went into all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And then if you go on to Matthew 17 and 15, there's a specific story. This guy calls his son a lunatic. That was the term they used in the day. But when you read the description of what was happening, this boy was having seizures. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. He's very ill, and he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Jesus cast that spirit out of that boy to deliver him. You see, he was having epileptic seizures, but it was a demonic thing. Now, I say that because sometimes when you go to pray deliverance for somebody, you need to know you might need to pray healing for them as well, and healing in their mind. This is why it's so important to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, because when you start to pray for somebody, you don't have a clue what's going on in their life. I mean, you may be able to see some things and make some guesses, but you don't know unless the Holy Spirit tells you this is what you need to pray for and how you need to pray for them. Maybe you need to pray healing first, or maybe you need to pray healing only, or maybe you need to pray deliverance. You just don't know, see, unless the Holy Spirit leads you. Okay, let's talk about the last place that I'm going to talk about today, about how evil spirits can enter into our lives. And again, remember, this has not been meant to be an exhaustive list. I just want to kind of give you some ideas of things to think about so that you'll be aware of some of the schemes of the enemy. This last one is sometimes evil spirits come in just by being around evil spirits. Sometimes it seems that demons are predators of opportunity. There's no particular invitation on your part. You didn't have any particular weakness or any kind of something that made it easy for them, but they just keep hanging around and looking for a place to come in, and sometimes then they find it. Debbie and I moved into a house once upon a time, and we started noticing that in the evening we'd go back into our bedroom and we'd start having a fight. And the fight and argument was over a very specific subject. After a few nights of this, we realized, this is not our argument. We don't fight about this kind of stuff. There's something agitating us in this area. When we come into this room, something's going on. There's an evil spirit. And so we dealt with it and drove it away. Not long after that, Debbie's talking to the spirit-filled real estate agent that we bought the house from. And she's telling her about this argument. We realize it was a demonic attack. And this real estate agent goes, oh, yeah, that was the argument that those folks had that caused them to have a divorce. That's why the house was for sale, because they had divorced. Well, you know, what happened was those evil spirits that those people had brought into that house through their arguing, some of them had stayed in the house and stayed in the bedroom hoping somebody else would come along that they could feed on now that they had been broken up. What happened was Debbie and I kind of gave in to that spirit, began to argue and fight with one another and think evil things about each other, fed that demonic spirit that made him a little more strong, and he just kept enticing us until finally we recognized, whoa, hold it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against an evil spirit. This ain't right. So one of the admonishments I have for you is that when you pray for people, make sure that after you pray for folks, you pray a cleansing prayer over yourself and over your family. If you have visitors in your house, when they leave, who knows what kind of visitors they may have brought in with them and left behind. So clean your house. Matter of fact, sometimes Debbie and I just do a house cleaning just for grins. One time we had a girl staying with us. We let her use our computer some. She needed to do email, you know, normal things that folks do with computers. After a while, we discovered that she was also using that computer to go on to bondage websites. And so we had this little confrontation, of course, about, honey, this really is not good for you to be participating in those kind of things, thinking about those kind of things, filling your mind with those kind of things. But we also explained to her, look, it is absolutely forbidden for you to do anything like that or bring anything like that into our house. That's dangerous stuff. We don't want those evil spirits around here or messing around in our house, and we don't want you to bring them in through that kind of activity. We told her how dangerous it was for her. This is dangerous stuff, filling around with evil spirits, okay? You need some help. You need the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you just need to resist and make sure that you're not inviting them in. Once demons have found an entrance into your life, then they feed on that sin. They feed on the negative emotions, the ungodly emotions. That makes it easier for them to encourage more of those ungodly emotions, which becomes then the vicious cycle, which just makes it that much more difficult to get rid of them. Remember in Bible times, they'd build a wall around a city? Remember, why did they do that for? Keep out bad guys, keep out bandits or other countries or whatever. And so if somebody attacked you or a piece of your wall fell down, there was a breach in that wall, it allowed the enemy to come in. And so, man, if there was a breach in the wall, everybody went to work right away. We got to seal up that breach in the wall. That's the way it is with us and evil spirits. We need to seal up wherever they're coming in from in order to make sure that we can then not only receive deliverance and be set free, but so that we can stay free. Now, let's talk about how to deal with demons, because we've talked a lot about deliverance. I want to give you some ideas about how you might pray deliverance prayers over folks. We're, of course, talking about deliverance, meaning setting folks free from demon oppression, demon captivity. And I think that usually there are basically three steps to this process. And the first step is to identify the evil spirits. And we'll go over these in detail in a minute. The second step is to drive them out by the authority of the name of Jesus. And then the third and the final step is to close up the place that they came in from so that they can't come back. You know, Debbie and I live out in the country, and we discovered that we had bats that had taken up residence in the attic of our house. And so my thought was, well, you know, I'll figure out some way to run them off and kill them, something. I don't care. Debbie did some research. Oh, no. They're protected. We can't do anything with those bats. We have to call in some kind of professional expert to come in and capture them and move them and, you know, treat them humanely or whatever. We prayed over the bats, and the bats left. We went around and we found the holes where they had been coming in to the attic, and we sealed those off so that they couldn't get in. Well, this process of dealing with demons is kind of like dealing with those bats. You have to first figure out that you have bats and demons or whatever. And then you have to get a qualified professional to deal with them. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a qualified professional to deal with demons. Remember that scripture we read in Mark 16, last part of Mark 16, where he says, these signs will follow those who believe. And one of the signs was, in the name of Jesus, we will cast out demons. But you know what? Even those of us who take time and work in deliverance ministry, sometimes we need help with deliverance. It's not about how spiritual you are. It's that we're all human beings and we all need help, and it's okay to call for help and say, hey, I need help getting rid of these things. Then once the demons or the bats are gone, then, of course, you got to close up the entrance points so they can't come back. Let me give you a word of caution here. I don't understand why it works this way, but my experience is that demons try to come back. They might poke around to see if there's any weakness that they can exploit. They'll try any way they can to get back in your life. And at that point, you need to drive those demons off in Jesus' name and remind them that they're no longer allowed or welcome in your life. Let me backtrack a little bit in talking about how to pray for folks for deliverance. I think that when you're doing prayer ministry of any kind, especially when you're ministering healing of any kind, that the very first step in the process is to do an interview with the folks, whoever you're praying for. If you don't know them, get to know them a little bit. Find out what seems to be important in their life. Listen very carefully to what they're saying. Listen actively to what they're saying so that you can begin to understand them and what's going on. But also, while they're talking, listen to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times in this interview process, even if it's just for 30 seconds when somebody says, this is what I want you to pray for, as we're listening and talking to them, I often hear the Holy Spirit telling me how to pray and telling me what's going on in their lives, then as much or more than I do when it actually comes time to officially start praying. So take the time to get to know folks. Okay, so step one, turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. We said step one was to identify the evil spirits involved. And I'm not so sure that you have to know exactly what the name of the demon is or the type of the demon, but for sure you at least need to know that there are evil spirits involved, okay? So you have to be able to establish, yes, there are, no, there aren't. And to do that, you need this special spiritual gift that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. He calls it, in some translations, it's called the gift of discernment. In some, it's called the gift of distinguishing of spirits. The idea is that it's a special gifting from the Holy Spirit that lets you know if or when an evil spirit is at work. It lets you know what evil spirit is at work, and it lets you know how to deal with that evil spirit. Now, some people are just naturally sensitive to spiritual things, and they see demons, and they see angels, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a special gifting of the Holy Spirit that comes at the time to show you how to deal with an evil spirit. I recently prayed with a pastor friend of mine who was going through some great discouragement. He said, please pray for me. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm just ready to just not only give up this parish, I'm ready to just quit the ministry. This is just awful. Not working the way I thought it should, yada, yada. So I started praying for him, and after praying for him for a few minutes, this gift came into operation, and the Lord revealed, there's a spirit of discouragement that's attacking you, and he's trying to get you to quit the ministry. So let's pray together and agree together and run him off and keep him run off. And sure enough, we did that, and man, right away, immediately, he felt better and felt free, and he was able to go on and do the ministry. He's doing great now. But see, that was the gift of discernment that says this is how we have to pray here. I am of the firm conviction that you cannot be effective in deliverance ministry without this gift operating in your life. We're just not smart enough. We're not strong enough. We need that Holy Spirit gift. Okay, step two was drive them off by the authority of the name of Jesus. Let's look at some examples in the Word about what folks did. Look at Mark 1, for instance. Mark 1, verses 25 and 26. Jesus rebuked him, an evil spirit, and said, be quiet and come out of him. And throwing him into convulsions, the evil spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. So Jesus commanded the demons to leave that person. Turn to Matthew 12. We're not going to read this whole passage. Matthew 12, starting in verse 22, we see where the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of the prince of demons. They called him Beelzebub. And Jesus asked him kind of a logic question, you know, one of those critical thinking questions that, well, look, if I cast demons out by the power of Beelzebub, then who do your Jewish priests cast demons out by the power of? He said, this is stupid. Any kingdom divided against itself just isn't going to stand. You can't have demons casting out demons and expect to have an evil kingdom. This was his point. And he goes on in verse 29, he makes an interesting comment. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he can plunder his house. What Jesus is talking about here, the context of this, is the strong man is an evil spirit that has control over someone or some place or someone's life. And Jesus is saying, you have the authority in my name to bind up that strong man, and then you can go in and plunder his house. You can take away the spoil. The spoil would be whatever that demon has taken into captivity. See, Acts 16, let's see how Paul dealt with evil spirits. Acts 16, 16 through 18. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit from fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she continued doing this for days. But Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and he said, not to the girl, but to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. So see, Paul dealt with evil spirits kind of the same way Jesus did. He commanded them to leave. We see in Acts 19, 13 through 16, I'm not going to read that, but read that story if you haven't in a while. It's the story of the seven sons of Sceva. This is seven sons of a Jewish priest that decided they wanted to do exorcisms. And so they go to the house of a demon-possessed man, and they say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to leave. And the demons in this guy go, well, let's see, Jesus I know, and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? And then these demons take the guy that they possessed, and he jumps on them and rips their clothes off and beats them up and sends them running out of the house screaming. Well, the point is, it's not good enough just to use the name of Jesus. You have to be a born-again believer to use that authority and that power. The examples we see here about dealing with demons, we speak to them in a voice of command in the name of Jesus, and we tell them to leave. And then beside telling them to leave, it looks like from Matthew 12, talking about binding up things, that we can also bind them up and we can forbid their operations. Turn back to Mark 1 and 34. This is powerful. I pray this prayer over several people every day. Mark 1, 34. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak. In other words, Jesus was showing us, hey, you got the authority to muzzle demons as well, so that they can't lie. They can't bring lying emotions. They can't bring lying ideas. Satan wants to lie to us, and we can forbid him from lying to us and to ours, okay? Then the third step was find the place that the evil spirits gained entrance and close up that hole. This could be any one of the other four kinds of healing, of course, but turn to 1 Peter. Let's see this process. 1 Peter 5. Starting in verse 8, Peter says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. He's saying, look, you've got an adversary, and this adversary is looking for people that he can devour. Evil spirits are roaming around looking for a way to get into your life and mess your life up. And he says in verse 9, if you're going to stay free, you need to resist him. And if our resistance is tepid, or if we don't even know that we're dealing with a demonic infestation, then we don't even know what we're supposed to be resisting. As he starts off here, we need to be sober of spirit. We need to be on the alert. We need to be looking for these things. And once we've been delivered, even after you've closed up the entrance point, that hole in your wall, unclean spirits are still going to try to come back. That's the time to be vigilant. It's time to resist them. Don't give in to temptations, not even a little bit, not even once, not even the first time. You just don't want to let the pigs come back into your living room. You don't want them living there in your living room. So this is not a game we're playing. This is not a, well, how close can I get? You're running the risk of being literally eaten alive. That's what a devouring lion does. Some folks have read the scripture and said, well, he's like a roaring lion. All he can do is roar. No, he can eat you alive if you don't get rid of him and run him off. And one last thought on resisting the devil. If you don't resist, if you don't want that demon gone, he's not going to leave. Or if he does leave, if he gets driven off in deliverance ministry, he'll come back. And sometimes that's one of the frustrations of being a prayer minister and praying deliverance over folks. You'll pray deliverance over them, they'll get free, and a week later, a month later, you'll see them again, and they're right back in that bondage. They've invited him back, and sometimes you can't help them. Well, so much for your master's course in deliverance.